Cubans are crazy for baseball. It's their national sport. Many Cuban players have ended up in the major leagues. A short list includes Minnie Minoso, Tony Oliva, Louis Tiant, Tony Perez, Rafael Palmeiro, Jose Canseco. So when Steve Balson was in Cuba, he had to go to a ball game. Steve, who was playing?
One team was the Industriales. They're the powerhouse of Cuban baseball, sort of like the Yankees here. And in fact, El Duque, Orlando Hernandez, used to pitch for them. And they played the team from La Isla, the island to the south of Cuba.
And you found someone there to talk to you about Cuban baseball?
Well, it turned out that one of the leaders of my group, Raul Galvan, is an authority on Cuban baseball. He grew up in Havana and used to go to games there with his dad. Raul now lives in Milwaukee, but he still follows Cuban baseball. So when we were in Havana, we went to a night game at Havana's biggest ballpark, the Latin American Stadium. And I have to say, I had a wonderful time.
This looks like a good play. Yeah, yeah. Double play.
Well, like a third or fourth double play tonight we've seen.
Yeah, now those guys are pretty quick around second base there. One thing that's really struck me since I've been in Cuba is I don't see anyone kicking the soccer ball around, but I see kids all over swinging bats and throwing balls. Why is baseball so popular here?
Baseball is at the heart of every Cuban sports love. It's been in the country since, you know, the late 1800s. Amateur baseball was huge in Cuba for many, many years. The Cubans have always been really proud of its major leaguers, of which there were many before the revolution. And since the revolution, they've been incredibly proud of its national team.
So it sounds like when you were a kid here, you used to come to a lot of games.
I did. I remember coming. There was, obviously, that was when gambling was big in Cuba. The casinos were here. The ballpark was no exception. They used to place bets as the game went along. You know, you'd place a bet that somebody's going to hit a homer. Or
it's like betting on horses for, you know, what's going to happen in a particular race.
Exactly. It's exactly. And I remember the bets were placed with a bookie who walked around the stands, much like a Coke or beer sales guy. And they had baseballs that had slits cut in them. And then you'd put the money, fold the bills up in the baseball, and you'd throw it at the bookie walking by.
But I bet that stopped once the revolution happened.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. They went the way of parking meters in Havana.
Now, there's a story, or maybe it's a legend, that Fidel Castro was an up-and-coming ball player, and he might have had a great career if other things had not become more important to him.
I think there is both a story and a legend. It was mostly legend. Fidel has admitted that he was a pretty mediocre baseball player, that he was actually a better basketball player, but being scouted by the Washington Senators was pure urban myth. Cuban urban myth.
What position did he play?
He was allegedly a hard-throwing right-hander.
Maybe a hard-throwing, but throwing some other things.
Exactly, absolutely.
Wow, that was
an excellent play.
Oh, wow. Oh, that was it. Oh, I thought he was out.
Excellent play.
Wow.
Excellent, excellent play. Nice coverage by the pitcher.
Yeah, the first baseman dove for the ball and threw it on the ground, and great play, but the runner was called safe. Now, didn't it used to be that back when the major leagues were segregated, some of the players from the major leagues and the Negro leagues would come down to Cuba, right, to play in exhibition games?
Absolutely. There were a lot of Cuban teams that played, and there were a lot of those Cuban players who played in the States in the Negro Leagues. You know, in those days, the Cuban ball players, the Cuban black baseball players, if they wanted to play big league ball, they had to do what American black players did, which is play in the Negro Leagues. Perhaps the best was a big, tall pitcher by the name of Jose de la Caridad Mendez. Mendez went on to play for the Kansas City Monarchs, as well as a couple other Negro League franchises. And of course, later on in the history of Negro League baseball, there were some notables who actually crossed the color barrier, the biggest one being Minnie Minoso, who played for the White Sox, who actually started playing Negro League baseball with the New York Cubans of the National Negro League.
Huh, which is fascinating. So he could get away with being considered white then in America.
No, by that time the barrier, the color barrier had been broken by... Now there you see the reason why some Latin ball players are considered hot dogs.
He was pretty nonchalant out there in right field.
Very nonchalant with a reasonably tough play, and it hit right off the glove.
He's kind of looking a little sheepish out there right now.
He is. He's looking to crawl into a hole somewhere which he can't find.
And then wasn't it when the major leagues were segregated, when some of them came down for exhibition games here, I mean, that was really the proving ground for a lot of black players. I mean, that was the one chance they would get to play against the white major leaguers, and often, from what I've heard, they beat those white teams.
Yeah, in fact, there was a team that came down, a Detroit Tigers team that featured, obviously, Ty Cobb.
Who was a notorious racist.
Exactly, a guy from Georgia. They played here, and I can't remember what the year was. It was in the teens, but they played a mixed Cuban squad of all-stars, which featured Mendez, and the Cubans beat the Tigers pretty handily. And there were other occasions when Christy Mathewson came down from the New York Giants, you know, in the teens and 20s here in Cuba. And John McGraw used to bring his New York Giants down here on occasion to spend a certain amount of spring training.
Sort of a different kind of cheer with the whistle here.
Yeah, whistles, and we don't have any drums tonight. Usually there's some conga drums, but I don't see any drums tonight. Oh, the hot dogs were good. And the sweets were good.
That was Raul Galvan talking with Steve Paulson at the Latin American Stadium in Havana. When Galvan isn't hanging out at ballgames in Cuba, he's running program production at Milwaukee Public Television. By the way, Steve says the equipment manager for La Isla did a brisk business at the game, selling autographed balls and jerseys and caps. Turned out the cap Steve bought was secondhand. He's still trying to figure out which player used to wear it.